Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to another iteration of A Biblical Response.
Good morning, everyone.
And the faithful team is gathered around the table here in the studio. I myself, David Frankhoor, welcome you. And I will then introduce all of the team, starting with the bringer of donuts, the man who's...
Good stuff.
Man, his reputation has been established.
Good stuff.
Because we know that that's another sign of God's love when you do that. Keith Masters.
That's exactly right, David. It's another sign of God's love.
It is.
It's exactly where we go with that.
Whenever I take a bite into a donut, man, it's like...
Now, Ann makes fun of his ho-hos, but I'm going to tell you something. When he brings the donuts, I get all excited.
Yeah.
She doesn't back down on that.
Yeah, right. And that you just heard from Stephanie Jacobs.
Snowballs, not ho-hos. It's snowballs.
Snowballs.
Yeah, the pink
ones. Sorry. Oh,
yeah, got it. Snowballs.
Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, let's not
Keith
have any...
He likes to eat the snowballs.
Let's not have any stuff. Snackery confusion
I think
here.
I'll turn that down.
Okay. Right, we can... And then now to the last introduction is our own Ann Lomhoko.
Yeah, the taker of the donuts. I'm sorry.
Right.
Hey, we fight over those maple donuts, I'm telling you.
You know, but Keith brought four of them.
I know.
So
thank
he knows
you.
Better
thank
now.
You, Keith.
And having said that, and welcome the whole team, this is by a great team. I would even go so far as to say, in my humble opinion, that of all the radio programs being produced today that are live and have to do with the subject matter we deal with, this is... Mm-hmm. By and large, and without question, the best team.
Aww.
That's radio. That's without bias, right, David?
Yeah, without bias. Well, without a great deal of bias.
We're also different, you know, in the beginning, but we have really gelled and unified.
People
could tell, even when they're listening on air, that we have so much fun
doing the
Lord's
right
work.
There. That's it.
You know,
if there's not fun, I don't want to have anything to do with it, guys. I'm sorry.
Full of sugar, but we're doing it.
Even some of the donuts Keith brought got gelled right out there. Anyway, you're absolutely right. I just enjoy working with you guys. And it's Holy Spirit time all the way through.
Yep, and we feel the same way.
Thank you.
Yeah. We feel the same way.
Today we're going to start with a topic that we had dealt with last week, the cultural mandate coming out of Genesis 1:28. And we're going to bring on the air with us James, who was a caller at the end of the program last week.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a chance to address the comment that he had. And because, number one, what we're dealing with was such a significant topic, and number two, that I talked to James after, and I believe that he had a great comment we need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm going to...
Well, let me just rehearse what the cultural mandate
Anna's going to kind of give us an overview of the cultural mandate, and then I'll introduce James.
Yeah, so this is a topic that we talked about exclusively on our program last week, and like the producer David said, we had some calls but wasn't able to take James's call during the air, so we're happy to do that after I explain really quickly what the cultural mandate is. And it's basically what people call the first commandment or job description that God gives to the first humans, Adam and Eve, and that is in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and that's in Genesis 1:28. But let me read prior to that, the first two verses prior to 28, and then I'll highlight 28. This is what Genesis 1:26 and 27 say. "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And this is what verse 28 says, which is what the cultural mandate is based on. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves to the ground. So basically what God is saying is he made everything for us, mm-hmm. creation. We're supposed to rule over it, exercise dominion, and put it under our feet and glorify him in the process, basically.
Amen.
And this
Amen.
Is what we need to do to combat the culture that we are living in today. So we're going to get to James's question, because I guess he has a question regarding the cultural mandate.
Or a comment, I'm not sure. But James, let me welcome you on the air. Thanks for being available to us today.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Go ahead, if you will, James, and share, you know, what you had that you would have gotten on the air with last week, as far as a comment or a question, or one of each, actually.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, first of all, we really appreciate each and every one of you and what you do for our Father's kingdom. I was watching we were listening to the program with my sister, Anne-Marie, and she's been a longtime listener. And it was the first time I listened, and I really appreciate the whole idea of what you're talking about, because of the importance of us as believers, as Christ followers, being involved in our communities mm-hmm. and in government Amen. And really what Amen. Every God has called us to, because it's not just that we should be that way in the church, but that we should actually be in every part of the area of government and influential areas that, you know, social media and mm-hmm. and music industry.
Amen.
That's all I was commenting on. And also somebody like Eminem getting saved is an awesome victory for all of us. You know?
Absolutely.
I had no idea. Eminem got saved. Praise
God. How long
ago
was that?
When did that happen, James?
It was something fairly recent.
Praise God.
Yeah, within the past
wow.
several months. But yeah, he's known as like one of the greatest rappers of all time, and he's really doing his gifts for the Lord now, writing songs, you know,
Thank
about
you,
God. And there are other people that are coming to the Lord through that too. I believe Rihanna and Selena Gomez too.
Well, here's the thing Hallelujah. About that. The cultural mandate yeah. covers everything. It isn't
yep.
just, you know, our culture is different than when Adam and Eve were here.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do pray for those people. You know, we pray for Biden. We pray for all of the ones that we don't necessarily agree with
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I've said this on the air before, and I've said it many times to my kids, and they probably get sick of me hearing me say it. But a lot of times we'll say, well, the enemy doesn't mess with those that aren't Christians. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're an image bearer of God, that means if you're living, breathing human,
you are a target.
You are a target mm-hmm. for the enemy. And the mandate mm-hmm. gives us clarity of how we are to live. So isn't it amazing that we get to go back mm-hmm. to the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. He didn't wait until Revelation or, you know, in the New Testament when he was here,
yep.
or 2010.
Yep.
He made it in the very beginning of the Bible
mm-hmm.
so that we had something stable. I mean, that was mm-hmm. one of the very first things he did. He
yes.
gave us direction, and that's why we can go back to the Bible
mm-hmm.
and get our direction.
Amen. That's what
from
this,
there.
And we need to.
The show is about is to biblically yeah. respond. So we use the scripture to know, to give us the blueprint on how to respond.
Amen.
I think that, you know, in order for people to do that, they have to understand how much God loves them. Because
yeah.
they have to open their heart to that to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to John 3:16, but we have to open our heart
yeah.
to first believe that God is there, that God created us
mm-hmm.
for a relationship with him.
Amen. You know, and sometimes when we're looking at that particular thought, it comes down to our identity and
yes.
who we see as through.
Yes. Yes.
If I look at myself through my lens and in the mirror, boy, I'll tell you what, it doesn't always look so good.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the scripture,
mm-hmm.
reading who God is, And then finding our identity through him.
Right. In who he says we are.
In who Amen. He says we are. The truth of the right. word. We have to do that, or surviving is really difficult
well,
in this world.
The other half of that, if I can say this, David, is that when Jesus came into my life and he rescued me, there was fear and trepidation there because of who I was.
Of course.
And, and so, you know, it's understanding how much God loved me.
Yes.
That he rescued me, but I was afraid because I had such an epiphany with the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was delivering me. So he delivered me. He took away my addiction. He took away my drinking habits. He took away my smoking habits. Mm-hmm. So
he's a new creation, as the word says. You are a new creation.
Right. So, So I just wanted to bring that in there because you don't want people to be afraid of God. You want people to draw nearer to God. And what they do what God does in their life is to bring them closer to God.
And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
So, and
in your life and in all of our lives as we come to Christ, what people see, because we have Jesus in our hearts, they also see into the effect of the biblical mandate. When God's grace is flowing to make that happen, not just globally,
right.
but now in your life, my life,
right.
and we become the light.
We become
right.
the light.
We become the light.
Before we go too far afield, James, I want to make sure you've been able to express your concern, because I want to make sure you get to do that before we move on.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to also comment too, like. I believe that, you know, God says, be merciful as I am merciful.
Amen.
I think being our first idea or thought towards one another in the family of God, first of all, if it could be mercy, it would be a much different situation. And I think there would be a much more sense of unity, you know, and then also the appreciation for each one in government and honor and respect towards those in authority. That's all I wanted to say.
And to pray for those in authority. Thank you, James.
James, thank you so much, brother, for sharing your heart. And you know what? This isn't the last time you can call.
That's right. Well, I know we'll be welcoming
listen,
calls later,
but,
right, David?
you might call back after what we've talked about. But I appreciate your offering. I appreciate your heart. And thank you for being a part of the program today.
God bless you, James. Thank you,
James. So
tell your sister we said hi as well.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And just thank you for the encouragement.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was great. I know, right?
That's so fun.
That is so cool. And
we know we like each other, but, you know, we don't know what
we don't know other listeners like us.
we encourage now callers. We're going to move into the topics that we felt like the Lord wanted us to deal with today.
Yeah.
And that, of course, the first one was one he wanted us to return to. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. Give us a chance to unpack some stuff. But if you want to get on, keep your eyes on the clock too, because as we have to do here, is when you get like 5 minutes before the top of the hour, or as we would say here, 11:55.
Yeah.
We're getting close to having to wrap it up. So if you're calling at that time, very little chance you're going to get through.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's something else you can do. Mm-hmm. And you can send an email. If you miss talking on the phone, you can send an email to us, and we can review it, see if it's something we want to address on the air, or the team might direct me to respond to you. The email address is wcno@wcno.com. That's wcno@wcno.com. And in the subject line, put "for a biblical response." For a biblical response, and then write your question or comment. You might also put maybe "for a biblical response -Dave." That's me, because so many emails come in from so many sources. If you have my name on it, better chance I'll get it. But if you do that, and then if you miss calling in, or maybe you're thinking about it 2 days from now, send it. We'll look at it and see how we might respond to it, okay? All right. Back to you, whoever the you is.
Keith is going to lead us.
Keith is going to lead
us
out.
Yeah, we were talking about, this is a day for review, rewind here today.
It is, kind of.
Yeah, because we were talking 2 weeks ago about the show. The program was about truth and deception. Mm-hmm. And I think that there, the Lord just put it on my heart that there's so much involved there.
There is.
That this conversation could be expanded a lot more than what's going on, than how much time we really gave to cover it. Mm-hmm. And that this could actually be, you know, a continuing program,
right.
Truth and Deception,
theme.
Right?
Yeah.
Because this is what's going on in the world. And is deception is going on from the truth of God, from the truth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we just went over last week about what the mandate is to be fruitful and to multiply.
Yeah.
God blesses us as we walk in the light of God.
Yes.
And then what happens is that people don't believe that the devil is real. But then when we go to chapter 2 in the Bible, on chapter 2, from Job, in the book of Job, chapter 2, what do we see here? And it reads, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So we have the devil here saying to God, I'm walking up and down in the earth, right, to see who he can deceive. Mm-hmm. And this is to see who he can deceive. And people, to just get the understanding that the deception comes from the enemy, the spiritual enemy. The spiritual enemy that is all is out there. He roams the earth. And this is why it's so imperative to try and open your heart, if you don't know the Lord, to open your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
One of the things that was going on is we talked about what that looks like.
How does the deception play out?
How does the deception play out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I brought something in from the New York Post, as a matter of fact, just that we had here. I went to the store yesterday, Memorial Day. I picked up the paper. Well, I saw the headline. I picked up the paper. But this is what's in it. And this is what we don't see because we're in Florida. And this is what's going on in New York. Now, you might be aware of what's going on in Washington, where those two people were killed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The two
that
Jews.
That was so tragic.
Right?
Yeah.
So sad.
That's so tragic. And just so young and innocent. They didn't do anything. But yet they were killed because of the hatred in somebody's heart.
Yes.
And that crosses every barrier. I don't care. I don't care what religion you are. If you're not the evil is just like boiling over in that.
But, and that's the heart, right?
I know. Yeah.
That's the heart. And
from,
that is the deception.
It is the deception.
And to be able to try and touch those hearts is what we're supposed to do. Because in the mandate that started in Genesis chapter 1, then the devil comes to try and disrupt the mandate, right? To have the relationship with God.
Broke it.
And then Jesus comes back, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he tells us to go and preach the word, to go and share the word, to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ, which is salvation.
Yep.
So, so this is something that's going on in New York, and I just wanted to bring it to the audience's attention at this time, because this is deception. And it says, school rallies, anti-Jew school rallies. A Brooklyn elementary school has become an epicenter of hatred since anti-Israel protesters started holding vigils on and around the property, spreading anti-Semitic literature and harassing Jewish neighbors. The rallies by PS 139, it's an elementary school in New York. The rallies by PS 139 Families for Palestine, scheduled every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon or next to the Flatbush School, have sparked fears that such actions will incite hatred and violence against Jews, especially since the cold-blooded murders this week of two young Israeli embassy aides in Washington, D.C. It endangers Jewish lives and embeds bigotry into the fabric of our educational system, said Tova Plout, a city pre-K coordinator and activist against anti-Semitism in public schools. It ensures that hatred of Jews takes roots in the heart of our youth. Look at this. It ensures the hatred of Jews takes root in the hearts of our youth. Now, in the book of Proverbs.
What a lie.
Right, right.
Wow.
And in the book of Proverbs, we see in Proverbs 22:6. So this goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Deception goes both ways. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to raise up children in the hatred.
Hey, if they've got the kids, that's their. Who are we talking about
right.
here? We're not
the enemy. The enemy,
yeah,
basically.
We're just talking. It has been his ploy from the beginning of time,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's funny. Even back in Genesis, when God was talking about, you know, he would crush the head.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about a baby that would come.
Mm-hmm. That's a first prophecy.
It has been his desire to kill the children, because if he kills the children,
mm-hmm.
there's no problem. He doesn't have anybody that's going to be following Christ. I mean, it's the image bearer of God.
Another example is go into Genesis, right? After Adam and Eve are driven from the garden, you know, they have two boys, right?
Right.
Yeah, Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What happens? Well, Cain murders Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's from the devil. So right away, God is going to go to the youth because they're not fully formed. They haven't lived life long enough to, you know, to develop a true sense of what's going on, and they're open. Especially now, you look now fast forward to today on college campuses.
Yeah.
Now, thank God, there's also revival going on there.
Yes.
But there's also, you see, these young people. 18 to 23, 24, that's the group that are being accessed by the devil through people that are anti-Jewish and the pro-Palestine groups, and they're the ones out there demonstrating on campus, not just demonstrating, expressing their opinions, but there's violence.
I've never seen anything like this before.
I haven't either.
You look at what's happening on our campuses and what they actually believe, and you're like, Keith says, it's deception to the core.
It's deception.
And what does the Bible say about the Jewish people in the Word? They're the chosen people. They're
right.
the apple of the God's eye. But they're focusing on something and completely twisting it.
Right.
That the spirit of anti-Semitism is the worst I've ever seen it in my short years of life.
And there's plenty of evidence when you're ready for this. There's plenty of evidence.
Yeah.
God is love, and in an article like this, where this is going on, it's not only going on in New York. I'm sure it's going on in Chicago. I'm sure it's going on in L.A. And
it's going on here in Florida. We just don't see it as much.
We don't see it as much.
Right. Well, it's got to be announced, you know.
Yeah.
And for this to allow this to continue to happen is also a problem.
Yeah.
It's an issue from the higher ups in the government side to continue to allow that to happen.
Let's pick this up after a break. We need to take a break. So we'll do that, and we'll come back and unfold that.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Well, Welcome back. I forgot to turn my mic on. Oh, boy. It's going to be one of those days. Okay, Keith, finish what you were talking about, bro.
Yeah, so we were discussing for the government, and I was referring to the government over in New York State or New York City.
Oh, state government.
For the mayor, yeah. because the president has taken precedent with anti-Semitism laws that are coming out into effect to, for the nation, for the good of the nation, and for religious freedom. So for New York City to allow this continue is just, it's number one, it's appalling. And it's just, yeah. It's ugly and it's appalling.
It is.
So we were talking about the mandate from Genesis 1, then we discover where Satan is trying to go. The enemy is trying to go and destroy that and getting into people's ideas. And then Jesus comes back and he tells us, right? He tells us in Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So this is just something that we need to be doing more of.
Yes.
Because when we spread the love, the darkness goes out, right?
Yes.
The,
Amen.
The light shines.
It dispels the darkness.
Yeah. Right?
And our one of our main focuses for preaching the gospel is to our children.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't teach the next generation, it can be lost within a
Absolutely.
Generation.
Yes.
And we've watched this over the last, I mean,
forever.
I was probably in that realm. I'm 62, and it's probably within that realm. I've got kids that are 40 that we're starting to see the 40 and under come back to the Lord to a way, and the teenagers, I mean, we're seeing on campuses, mm-hmm. like you were saying, Dave, that these campuses are starting to explode mm-hmm. with people that are willing to talk about the gospel, and Charlie Kirk is one of those. We've talked about him.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. So we have to teach the next generation.
You know, and that's a good point. Charlie Kirk was going around to the college campuses. He was planting seeds in those college campuses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, is the seed of God is working throughout the campus, getting planted into people's hearts.
Yes.
And this is how the word spreads. So for us to continue to do that and to spread the word of God.
And bring the truth when you hear lies.
Well, that's what it is,
so
to
David's
bring the
gonna,
truth.
David's going to give us some statistics because it's so gut-wrenching how bad anti-Semitism is now
that we really need to
wake up as a church and fight this and speak truth.
And this information is meant to galvanize the church.
Yeah.
And, you know,
And
I'll cite my sources here. The main source is the Anti-Defamation League and their website. Actually, I don't have the website, but if you type in...
It's ADL.org.
ADL.org. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that naturally you would think they would keep some pretty significant stats on what's happening to Jewish America. Well, actually, Jews all over the world, but particularly in America here, that's their focus. Now, let's also say that throughout the history of the world, when the Jewish people, when God came and we, as we read, you know, in the story, in the Genesis story, Abram and Sarai, were from whom the entire Hebrew nation is descended. So, at that point, from that point forward, the devil, because the devil hates God, and he hates the people of God, anybody. Mm-hmm. So, Jews and Christians now, keep in mind, we're in his sights. The devil's sight. We have targets on our back because we believe God.
That's
we love
Stephanie
God.
That's what Stephanie talked about in the
beginning. Just to understand, because we are. So the world since then has always been in a state of spiritual warfare. It has only advanced critically today. Now, these stats are particularly significant and have been accumulated since October 7th of 2023, when Hamas invaded Israel. And all that followed in the war that continues to this day because of that. But what's significant is from that moment forward, anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. have skyrocketed by, listen to this, 361%.
Wow.
Okay. There's an article in the it was actually in the ADL, on the ADL website, Anti-Defamation League again. It was dated January 10th, 2024. In the 3 months since the October 7th massacre in Israel, U.S. anti-Semitic incidents have skyrocketed, reaching a total of 3,291 incidents between October 7th, the day of the attack, and January 7th. And that's their preliminary data at that point.
Is that worldwide, David?
I'm going to say so. They don't speak specifically to America, but I'll say this. Since the ADL is focused on America, I'm going to say that that's probably pertinent to America.
Okay.
And so that's significant. I'm going to go to my other page. Here's a breakdown of those 3,291 incidents. 56 incidents of physical assault, 554 incidents of vandalism, 1,347 incidents of verbal or written harassment, 1,307 rallies, including anti-Semitic rhetoric, expressions of support for terrorism against the state of Israel and or anti-Zionism. And it doesn't say so, but I'm going to assume from a review of the news articles that most of those are campus, higher education, on-campus rallies.
And this is all the deception of the enemy.
It's all the, because
it's
right,
all the deception of the enemy. And right, to recognize that the enemy is real and that the deception is real.
Yeah. Now somebody at this point might say, well, the ADL, you know, they're prejudiced and they want to make it look worse than it is. Well, I don't believe so, because they go out there on their website and make these statements, easily checked, mm-hmm. by the way, if you want to do some fact checking, going to other resources. But the FBI in September of 2024 came up with some, and of course they keep data like this too. Anti-Jewish hate crimes had increased by 63, this is in the United States. The FBI data showed that anti-Jewish, this was by the, let me say, this is September of 2024 when these stats were published by the FBI, showed that anti-Jewish hate crimes had increased by 63%,
wow.
since 2023.
Wow.
Despite Jewish Americans making up just 2% of the U.S. population, reported single-bias anti-Jewish hate crimes made up 15% of all reported hate crimes in 2023, mm-hmm. and 68% of all reported religion-based hate crimes. And then in September of 2024, the same month, the FBI also released this data, that hate crime incidents across the country reached a record high of 11,862 in 2023. Now, single bias, meaning only one group was being focused on.
Right.
Anti-Jewish hate crimes incidents rose to 1,832 incidents, a sharp increase of 63% from 2020, just the previous year.
Right.
That's really significant. And then now you go down, back to the ADL. The rise of reported anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. has followed a wider trend. According to the ADL, surveys show that anti-Jewish sentiments are at an all-time high globally. Now, this, again, was sparked by the Hamas war. So from October 7th, it's clearly clearly marked. A report published in January of 2025 found that 46% of the world's adult population, and this is a quote from the report, harbors deep entrenched anti-Semitic attitudes, equating to an estimated 2.2 billion people worldwide.
Can I interrupt for a second,
yeah.
David? You know, when this happened back during World War II days, and the church did not wake up then, and Eric Metaxas, you guys know the author Eric Metaxas,
mm-hmm.
he wrote a book called A Letter to the American Church, and it's basically saying that what we have today is likened to the time of World War II, where the church is not waking up, and that's why we feel so we feel such a boldness to talk about this topic in today's show about what we're seeing in the culture, and we need to combat the culture.
We do.
Deuteronomy 14:2, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. This is an attack on God's people, and which is essentially on us.
Yes.
Because we are
grafted into the vine.
Yeah.
I'll get a couple more stats, and then I'm going to go to some scripture. But
okay.
In a reversal of previous trends, younger Americans, college mm-hmm. age, read into that, are showing higher rates of endorsing anti-Jewish tropes. In 2024, the ADL surveyed that younger Americans were more likely to endorse anti-Jewish tropes, with the highest rate among millennials. Baby boomers had the lowest rate regarding this type of endorsement. Pretty much everybody here is a baby mm-hmm. boomer, I think. Maybe not. Maybe not you. No, I know. You and, okay, two of us. All right, Keith and I.
Look at what just happened at Columbia. They disrupted the graduation ceremony.
Look at
what's going on in Harvard.
Yeah. President Trump is revoking a lot of the funding because of what the president there is not addressing
well,
it the way it should
back.
Be.
Right. They're fighting back.
And they should
back.
Be, right?
Mm-hmm. And so he's standing behind his work.
Yes. Yes.
So one last stat, and then I'm going to go to some scripture. But then in their research, they're telling us where the average general public stands in America.
Okay.
A majority of U.S. adults, 72% in terms of the respondents to this survey, mm-hmm. say anti-Semitism is a problem in the U.S. today. So that's encouraging.
What was the percentage?
72%.
Wow. Good.
Say that. Anti-Semitism is a problem.
So
right.
they recognize it. That's
they're
right.
recognizing
right.
No. it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, to what degree they are committed to, you know, favoring the Jews doesn't really come out
right.
in that.
And that was my point with New York, right? How are they allowing these people to go out there and protest
exactly.
and scare the children? They're scaring the children right across the street. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Right? And then the parents are going to be concerned and worried for their children. So they're instilling fear. Right there. Yep. And what does fear do? Fear kills faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it does. You can't be, if you're overcome by fear.
Right.
Number one, you can't be reasonable.
Right.
And you can't then, you need to have a measure of reason to
right.
to listen to the Lord. Anyway, so the other thing, 6 out of 10 U.S. adults say anti-Semitism has increased in the U.S. And 9 out of 10 say anti-Semitism affects society as a whole. And everyone is responsible for combating it. So there's some encouragement there. Now, the last thing, and then we can, you know, go into our regular free-for-all. But just to say, now on top of this, really, what does God say to us about the Jews? Well, number one, you know, we know he's there, that the Jewish people are God's chosen people.
Yes.
And so... Now, God loves everybody he made.
Yes.
Particularly, though, the chosen people are set apart for the mission and ministry God gave them, which was to reveal him to the world. They have done a great or lesser than great job throughout the history. But and now, keep in mind, as we said earlier, Paul likes to, when he wrote to say, we are grafted into that, as we're a wild olive shoot. I love that. Grafted into the olive tree of Israel. So we, by receiving Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, we become one with the Jewish people in that sense. We share a common God. We share a common mission. Doesn't mean everybody, like, you know, we're still apart in some ways, but God intends for us to be also supporting the Jewish people. The most primary scripture is... God says, this is Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Amen.
I mean, that's, if there was God only said that once.
Right.
That would be, but it's, well, it's repeated, his intentions are repeated throughout the Word of God.
Right, and if you go to Genesis 13, chapter 13, verse 15, it says here, for all the land which thou seest, and he's talking to Abram at this point in time, not Abraham, so he's talking to Abram at this point in time.
Call coming through, okay. Right. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Pastor David, and all you wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This is Amory, James' sister.
Right, hey there.
And I just want to say thank you so much for your program. And I just wanted to express my heart as being married to my husband, David. Those of you that know him, Pastor David, I know everybody there knows of who he is. My husband grew up in a secular Jewish family and have very much known a lot of the, quote, anti-Semitism ideas. He has a brother, David has a brother, Lewis, in New York, who is an Orthodox rabbi, and he is often going back and forth to Israel. And this is of a tremendous concern, you know, for David's mom. She's always being mindful of dangers. David actually has family that lives in Israel. And I just wanted to comment that, you know, when all of these things have happened, the Jewish people, as I've learned so much from my mother-in-law, my husband's mother, have gone through so much through the years. And I just keep reminding my husband, David, that thank the Lord that there is a covenant with the Jewish people that is so precious that we just maybe need to put before them to understand that God himself has chosen them very special, you know, as far as all people, and for the hatred that's there, that is just evil being stirred up.
And yeah.
As people in the church, I think it's just important that we embrace them with the love and compassion of Jesus and show them Christ, because David's dad was kind of difficult. But praise God, toward the end, I do believe that he came to see that Jesus was real.
Amen. Amen.
So, love you all.
Thank you for calling, Anne-Marie. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
That, you know, I was thinking as Anne-Marie was talking, you know, when someone would say, well, all right, to what extent, here I'm a Christian, to what extent should I go, you know, to support the Jewish people? And I'm thinking back to the stories in World War II when Christians took Jews in and housed them and hid them from the Nazis.
Yeah.
That would be one way of answering that question.
What courage, because if they were found out, they would have been murdered, you know?
They would have eventually been, maybe in the street, or maybe they'd have been sent to a concentration camp.
Oh, I meant the people who are taking them in. They would have put themselves in danger.
Well, look at Anne Frank's family.
Exactly. Ultimately,
they went, and Corrie Ten Boom, also, the same thing went to
praise
them.
God,
they went
for
to concentration.
Courage.
Now other people say, well, that's not happening today. So wait a minute. Mm. You have people that won't go so far as to kill Jewish people because they're Jewish. Where are you going to? What if God puts you in a situation where you have to make a decision to stand up for God and stand up for those people?
Yeah.
Those days aren't going to end until Jesus comes.
David, okay. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
We are.
Amen. Yeah.
Listen, we probably ought to. I don't want to break up any thought trains here.
No, that's okay.
But then our thought train hasn't come into the station yet because it's not the end of the program. But I think we ought to take a break and then we can come back. How's
okay,
that?
Okay, no problem. Only do it. You said you would. Fight your battles for you. They gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Only do it. Oh, yes, you will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie.
Lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. I just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need to whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, cause you're always on time. Come and get your breakthrough, cause I'm gonna get downfall turned out to be the greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at you fast and hard, there's only one that could come and make it right. So when
Oh my goodness, that was an active, lively song. That was
we were jamming here in the studio. Yeah,
we were.
That
was "Won't He Do It" by Corin Hawthorne. And if those of you who listen all the time may have noticed that song played yesterday during the second break of the front line. Just so you know it. Anyway, we're coming back to. We're going to kind of shift focus a little bit in the last 14 minutes of the program, and Am's going to turn it back to Am.
Yeah, you know, this program is all about basically
looking at
the deception, exposing the deception, so we can combat it with the truth of God's word.
Amen.
This is a topic that we felt we wanted to revisit, that we visited initially 2 weeks ago. Well, here's another subject that I'd like to broach. We just talked about anti-Semitism. Keith brought up some article that in the New York Post, right?
Yes.
That got us on this topic. But something that dominated the news, and I know that our listeners have heard of this piece of news I'm going to talk about, is the book by two liberal reporters, Jake Tapper. He's the head Washington, D.C. reporter for CNN. And also Axios reporter Alex Thompson. They basically published a book that just came out. It came out 7 days ago on May 20th, called Original Sin: President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. So we're talking about liberal reporters who covered President Biden the last 4 years, but did not bother. And you will see Jake Tapper, if you look at clips, he actually got mad at Lara Trump for saying that she's noticing that there's a cognitive decline in President Biden.
I'm appalled.
And now he's selling a book where these two reporters were able to talk to over 200 Democrat people who basically said, yes,
I have a father and mother that are late. My mother's gone, but late 80s. My dad will be 90 this year, and there's like points that you can follow on this journey. Anybody that had any kind of a brain in their head could look at this and go, come on, this is just not.
Yeah,
there was a control thing there, so that people wanted to be able to control, and we all know that it's not like we're telling somebody anything new.
But we all knew that
coming
from
them actually saying it.
Admitting
how
it.
My question is, how long did they know this and actually see it, and did someone silence them until they couldn't silence them?
Well, I actually watched it.
Because I haven't read it. I don't know.
I haven't read it, but I will read it.
Yeah.
But I watched.
I'm not a reader, so I probably won't.
You know me. I'm reading books all the time. But Megyn Kelly's a conservative commentator.
Right.
You guys know Megyn Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Former Fox News host.
Yep.
She had Jake Tapper and the Axios reporter on.
Okay.
And she basically went at him because she's like, you guys covered him and you never brought it up. It was discovered that his cognitive decline went as far back as 2017. And you have 2017.
Okay.
That's a long time.
Okay, so who's deceiving who here?
There's many things. Yeah. It's the Democratic staffers, and apparently Joe Biden's wife, Bill, was very...
Jill
Biden. Joe Biden's wife, Jill.
I was really confused right then.
And but we cannot dismiss, though, the liberal media that chose not to really cover this. The liberal media that
chose
to work.
I just wonder what was going on in their heads when they were actually saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I was looking up something while you guys were talking about the other things, and I looked up, let me see if I can find it now. We'll come back to it because I can't find it. So I'll come back to it. But it's about, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Psychology Today. Now, this is just, you know, random thing I looked up. Deception refers to the act, big or small, cruel or kind, of encouraging people to believe information that is not true. Now, this is a secular
website,
right?
Pretty good one.
Okay. Lying is a common form of deception. Lying.
Lying
is a common form of deception. Mm-hmm. Stating something known to be untrue with the intent to deceive. That's one of the first things we teach our children. Mm. Do not lie.
Right. Yeah.
If you're going to... Now, I'm going to read this next paragraph. While most people are generally honest, even those who subscribe to honesty engage in deception sometimes. So they're giving a little bit of leeway to those of us that hopefully don't want to lie. Then it says, studies show that the average person lies several times a day. Some of those lies are big. I've never cheated on you, but more often they are little white lies. That dress looks fine. Deployed to avoid uncomfortable situations or spare someone's feelings. Now we're talking about the President of the United States, that we should be trying to do our best for everyone in this nation to, even if you are not a Christian, you want your neighbor to be able to survive, so you're not having to take care of them. Mm-hmm. You want to teach him how to fish, not just give him a fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, and here are all these deceptions. Mm-hmm. That are just blatantly out there, and yet they're sitting in the room with him,
and
going,
you know what the book
"I'm
said,
sorry. I feel so sorry for him. I feel I, even as much as I feel like he was deceptive.
Yeah, but he brought it upon himself.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm not saying, but we all do.
Yeah,
we all bring stuff on ourselves. This was a deception of this nation, not to take care of that situation as it was.
Well, one of the other things that was going on is, where the news was reporting it, they were telling you, don't believe what your eyes are looking at.
No, it was just, it was, it was a cyclical thing.
And this is where, don't believe what your eyes are seeing.
That's why, why Trump had to come in and just blast the media.
That
and I got sick of hearing it.
Yeah, the fake news. That's
I got
why it was
sick of hearing him
news.
Say
don't
that.
Don't believe what your eyes
and
are seeing.
And you know
seeing.
Why they covered it up? Because they did not, they wanted Joe Biden to win the election. They're like, we can't see anything. We can't say anything. If we say something, then Trump's going to win. But look at God. He still won.
Okay.
They tried to
so
put
let's
him back
still,
in
let's,
for another
let's
4 years.
Let's pull this back in.
They tried to put him back in for another 4 years.
And focus on why the deception in this nation needs to be transformed. And how it can be transformed. Because if we don't, as Christians, I mean, we can go out and talk about this all day long, honestly.
Yeah.
But the deception is something that we cover up.
You know, the Bible talks a lot about being deceived. It does. It talks, and if you go into Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians, in chapter 2, there's a lot about deception in Second Thessalonians, and here in verse, let me see, here in verse 9, it says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan," which is God. Right? After whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Amen.
So this is where, Stephanie, I believe that you're talking about for the deception that just continually goes on, and that we're talking about with truth and deception. With truth and deception, that the enemy is the one that's deceiving them. And if they don't know God, and you're listening to this program, it's not by coincidence. It's by God's will that you're listening to this program right now.
Because what's the difference?
To come to the truth,
right? And what is
we need
the truth?
To be in the Word of God.
What
right.
does the truth do? It sets us free. And Amen. What is this nation was built on
truth.
The foundation of truth.
Yes.
Right.
And so,
I
look at what Trump's doing, and I don't want to push into that now. We don't have enough time. But, but I look what he's doing.
Let's extend this program.
I know.
Ask Chuck Swindoll about that.
I know.
Don't want to mess with him.
That it is not comfortable. And I'm not in agreement with everything he does. But I will tell you something. Mm-hmm. We don't see everything that he sees from the place that he is. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying he's got everything right. But we have been deceived so long in this nation, and I'm not talking Democrat, Republican. I'm talking the enemy wants to destroy
this nation. Battle. It's the spiritual battle.
And that's where, as Christians, we have to continue to keep our eyes on the Lord and not be deceived. That means keep your head in the Word of God.
Yes.
And we've got
the Word
to keep
of God.
It, that is the basic foundation.
Wisdom through Scripture.
I've got to throw something because while we're doing all this and people's feelings are being raised, stirred up, but I want the church doesn't have permission from God to hate the people who hate them. Right?
Absolutely.
But here is Paul writes to the church in Rome. It's in Romans 1:18, and it's a tremendous truth about it applies to everybody. Okay, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Now that
Romans, right?
Now, that's Romans 1:18. Now the point is that our posture as believers, yes, we can abhor the evil, but what does God do with the evildoer? He loves them still. He loves them.
He does.
Our job is to pray for them. We're talking about Biden. Yeah, he's done some bad stuff. Yeah, I don't think his great record with God.
David,
but the point
so have
is,
I.
Yeah, well, so have I. That's the point. The point is that while we're doing all this talking.
Yeah, but you came to the truth also.
By God's grace.
You came to the truth.
You came to the truth. We want those who are.
So you are a child of God now. You're not
God's
a sinner.
Grace.
You're a child of God.
Okay, just to finish my point.
Sorry, David.
No matter how abhorrent we find the behaviors of unbelievers.
Yes.
God wants us to love them. Now, how do we love them? Most of the time, it's going to be praying for them. I'm not ever going to cross Joe Biden's path, intentionally or unintentionally. And I don't really care for the man as a human being in the sense of what he's presented himself. But I cannot not love him as God loves him.
That's right. Because
God's
going to
use me as an instrument of prayer for him. And I'm going to lift up everybody of his ilk.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying.
Can
this
we
is
pray really
on balance.
Quickly as we stop?
Well, we've got...
like a minute to pray for these people?
Why don't you pray? 1 minute.
Okay, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. We pray for all those who do not know you, Lord.
Yes.
President Biden, whoever it may be, Jesus, who are being lied by deception. And Lord, we ask that you encounter them with your truth. We pray that the love of God will just overwhelm them, that they may see you as their Lord and Savior, Lord God. Mm. We ask that everyone... that we get on our knees regularly to pray for people who don't know you, Jesus, that we don't come into an attitude of judgment, but that's knowing that they are deceived, that this is a spiritual battle, and that we will continue to be the salt and the light. Mm-hmm. And to Lord, I pray that your mercies will fall upon them right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
So that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We ask for you to encounter them with your salvation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. This has been a wild ride.
But
a good one.
It
a good
has.
One.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we're doing, when we're going along the way we've been going along, God's involved in this.
It's all right.
It's very right.
We got
human.
Limited time. I just wanted to say, you know, we were going back for the deception. Everything when Paul wrote a lot of letters in the New Testament of the Bible, everything in Paul always addressed it as grace and peace to us.
Yes.
As grace and peace.
All right, listen, I'm gonna leave us with a scripture. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no permanent city, but we are looking for the one which is to come.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Well, we give God glory again. He has moved through us.
Let's go get some donuts.
Yeah, let's go get some donuts. Yeah.
There's God still, bless you.
Is there any out there? Is there any left?
Yes, there is. Tune in next week for another topic.
Yeah, we just want to thank everybody for listening.
The heavenly banquet, I'm pretty sure, is going to be a pile of donuts. Just thinking. Y'all be blessed. Thanks for joining us.
And pancakes.
And pancakes. Right. What did I say yesterday?
No.
The pancake dinner for the Flat Earth Society is a fundraiser. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at